You might perhaps like to turn back to John chapter 14, verse 6. That's page 103 of the second sections, the New Testament sections of the Church Bibles. It's not absolutely necessary, but we do seek to speak from the words of Christ himself, and you might like to see them there. A young man lies flat on his face in the humid heat. One by one, he moves 108 pebbles the length of his body. It'll take him weeks to complete the circle round the Indian city of Mathura, but he's hoping to gain religious merit. Is there any way to find God? A group of Jews come to the Wailing Wall. They rock backwards and forwards as they concentrate on their prayer, and they stuff their requests into the stonework. Meanwhile, behind that very wall, the Muslims leave their worship. Women crowd out of the Dome of the Rock and are joined by their menfolk from the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Is there any way to find God? A few weeks ago, a friend of ours, aged 50, took my parents to Heathrow, drove back home, and dropped dead. That night, when she was alone, his widow threw herself to her knees, desperate, confused. Is there any way to find God? A man comes up to London to work. Everything's new. New friends, new job, new home. And he starts to think again about religious faith. Is there any way to find God? And I'm sure there are many here who are asking, perhaps you are beginning to ask, is there a way? A way to find God? And Jesus replies here in verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I thought for a long time how to talk about these words tonight. I've decided to do something I've never done before. Something I hope you'll forgive. And that is to tell my own story. Not because it's particularly exciting or unusual. On the contrary, because it's so ordinary. And for that reason, I hope it may strike a chord with some here tonight. I've not always been a Christian. I suppose I've always believed in God. I sometimes had doubts, like most people. But in my heart of hearts, I believed he was there. And yet, he was distant, far away somewhere. Like my brother, who lives in California, though he doesn't actually run a motel. I know he's there, but communication is rather thin. That was God to me, very much at the back of my mind and my life, not at the center. And yet at the same time, I was dissatisfied with this state of affairs. I wanted to know him, but how? I thought perhaps I could find God through confirmation. I went to preparation classes at school, and the bishop preached what even then I thought was a singularly footling sermon on the virtues of being manly. He laid his hand on my head, but I felt no surge of piety. I began to go fairly regularly to communion, and sometimes was deeply moved. But it was only a response to the soaring architecture and the choir singing and the special hush amongst us boys. wasn't a true encounter with God, and it wore off as I walked the 60 yards from the school chapel back to my room. I thought perhaps I could find God through love. I remember saying to myself that I would try to love people, love everyone, and maybe that would lead me to the love of God. But it didn't work. I wasn't very good at loving others, not except those I liked anyway, and I didn't seem to be any nearer God. So most of the time I was resigned. Of course, I didn't think about it all that much in any case. But mostly I felt I believed in God, but I would probably never get very close to Him. I wonder if that's how some here feel. Perhaps you've had some experiences in the past which could be described as religious. It's true, you believe basically in God, but He's very far from central in your life. Is there any way to find God? Towards the end of my time at school, I received a jolt. I had a great friend, older than I, with whom I'd acted. We played, for instance, in Much Ado About Nothing. He'd acted Dogberry, and I, don't laugh, was Beatrice. Those who know me well will not be surprised that I was the only boy with an unbroken voice who did not need training so that his voice could be heard. This friend went up to Oxford and there became a committed Christian. And for 2 years, on and off, we talked Christianity. I didn't like what he said at all. I argued and kicked. But one thing I couldn't deny, this man had found God. "I am the way," said Jesus. And it seemed to be borne out by the facts. To me, the most noticeable thing was that when he talked of God, he spoke with a calm, confident certainty. And there was clearly real experience behind his words. It wasn't cocky or obnoxious, but he knew what he was talking about. And it formed quite a contrast to my confused groping after God. He was so genuinely, quietly sure. I wonder if you've come across the same kind of thing. Perhaps you've been impressed, as I have, by the calmness and forgiveness of Jean Wardell and the Colemans, the missionaries returned from Iran. They've found God. Or maybe you have a friend or a member of your family or someone at work, and all right, you don't agree with everything they say, but there's no going against it. They've found God. Or maybe here tonight, as you've listened to the singing and watched how people give themselves to prayer, you have to admit many seem genuinely to know God. Is there any way to find God? "I am the way," says Jesus. But that wasn't enough for me. I could see Christianity worked, but I wasn't going to commit myself unless I was convinced it was true. Otherwise, I could just be deceiving myself. I had many arguments with this friend of mine, and I always lost. But I was a stubborn arguer, and even when he answered all my objections, I refused to give in. The truth is, I didn't want to believe some of the things he said. They were too disturbing. One night, I was at university by this time, I went to a talk entitled, But Why Christ? It was about who Christ was and is. It's difficult, of course, to sum up in a couple of minutes, a three-quarters of an hour talk, but it was so important for me that I must try. The speaker said most people believe Jesus was a good moral teacher. For myself, I thought, I wasn't sure. It was yet another area of confusion. He could have been a good moral teacher. That was an attractive idea. Or maybe the Son of God. Or perhaps a prophet or anything. During that talk, three things struck home. First, Jesus claimed to be God. A mass of evidence was brought forward, and principally, that when a man blurted out to him, my Lord and my God, he didn't say, no, no, Thomas, but rebuked Thomas for being so slow to believe. If that was Jesus' claim, it must be taken seriously. He wasn't a good moral teacher. He was either much more or much less. Two, Jesus never sinned. His enemies could find nothing wrong with him, and it wasn't for lack of trying. His friends, who'd been with him day in, day out, said he never did wrong. And he himself said the same. If so, it was powerful evidence that he was more than man. Three, his tomb was empty. He'd been laid in a grave which was then sealed and an armed guard set on it. 3 days later, the tomb was empty bar the grave clothes. Various possibilities were examined, but the only one which seemed remotely to fit the facts was that Jesus had risen from death. Well, as I say, it's difficult to summarize that one talk. I can only say for the first time I was utterly convinced. I could no longer hide behind my rather pathetic arguments. I could no longer kid myself I wasn't sure. I knew this was true. And Jesus said, not only I am the way, but, as you see in verse 6, I am the truth. I wonder how you stand in relation to this claim of Christ. Imagine there are some here who are genuinely unsure. That's fine. We wouldn't want anyone to commit their lives to Christ who wasn't convinced that the Christian faith in its fundamentals is true. Let me urge you in that case to look into the claims of Christ. This is not an unimportant issue. We're talking about what claims to be, or rather the person who claims to be, at the heart of reality. So if you're not at the moment sure, join a group like our Agnostics Anonymous, more of that on the notice sheet. Or if you prefer, study a gospel carefully yourself. I believe with all my heart that anyone honestly searching for the truth will be drawn towards Jesus. And I've seen it happen many, many times. But maybe you are convinced. You've read, you've thought, you've talked. And although you haven't fully admitted it to yourself, really, you're already convinced. Or perhaps tonight, for the first time, you're sure that the Christian faith is true. Don't put off the decision you know you must take. Don't put off committing your life, because that is an insult to Christ himself. He said, I am the way and the truth. But that wasn't all. He added in verse 6, I am the life. On that evening at college, I wasn't concerned with what Christian commitment would bring me. I simply knew that the step of faith I was taking was right. I didn't really know what to expect. It wasn't that important. But what I came to experience was life. Jesus said, I am the life. Now I want to knock on the head the idea that people become committed Christians because they want to get to heaven. I was a young man at the time. I had no thought of heaven. And even now, though I believe in heaven, the prospect means fairly little to me. Jesus says he is the life, and he gives life here and now. In what way? For me, by far the most significant impression, and it came a few days later, was that Jesus was with me. I remember it well. I was in my room, tidying up, waiting for someone to come round. And it simply dawned on me that Jesus was there with me. And that knowledge that he is with me has been mine on and off ever since. That is what it means for me that Jesus is the life. Because isn't it true that what enriches our life, what enriches it most, is our relationships? A man who lives in isolation, staying in his house, keeping himself to himself, never really rubbing shoulders with anybody, is half dead. A man who lives without God equally is dead. Dead at least to God. And God is dead to him. But when I committed my life to Christ, God became real. A new relationship was formed, a new fundamental relationship, and it's relationships that bring life. Of course, that relationship over the years has deepened and matured. I had a time, as many do, of being, if I can put it like this, head over heels in love with Christ. Now, I have a much calmer and, I hope, richer knowledge of Christ. But that relationship remains at the heart of life for me, as it does for every true Christian. As Jesus said, I am the life. And surely it's the case that what you find most fulfilling is not what affects you outwardly, but what goes on inwardly. I don't want to exaggerate. Of course, what we acquire, a table lamp, a new watch, our first car, can give us great pleasure. But it's the depth of our relationships that determines the quality of our life. And Jesus says, I am the life. Until you come to know God, you're only half living, you're dead. Because you're missing out on the fundamental relationship. Now at this point, questions may arise. I imagine quite a number here may be saying something like this. Look, I see what you mean, and I think I accept it. I have been groping in the dark about God, and I can see that Jesus is the way to certainty. I am, I suppose, convinced that Jesus has the truth, is the truth. And I know what you're talking about when you say he's the life. I've seen it in others. But still, how? How can I find God? I want to spend the last few minutes answering that question as simply and as clearly as I can. So how can I find God? Jesus put it like this: no one comes to the Father but by me. And in that one little statement, there are really three things which you need to do. First, stop. The Bible pictures us as walking away from God, with no attempt to bring him in on our life, or just simply a passing nod in his direction. It shows us as walking away and living our lives without reference to him. And the first thing that Jesus tells us to do is to stop. When he told the story of the prodigal son, Jesus said that the prodigal son came to his senses. And I want to ask tonight, will you come to your senses and stop the way you've been going up till now and tell God that you've been setting about life in the wrong way? The first thing to do, if you will do it, is stop. And the second is this: turn. Turn to God. The Bible word for this is repentance. It means turning around, turning to face God for the first time in our lives, and saying that we will come and live for him, live with him in the center of our vision from now on. You say, what does this mean? I don't know what it will mean in detail. God deals with each one of us as individuals. Probably it will mean changing some habits in your life. It will mean making new friends. But I do know that no person who has turned to face God in their lives has ever been disappointed. Do you think you can do that second thing? First stop and then turn. And the third thing Jesus asks us to do is to come. No one comes to the Father but by me. And again, like that prodigal son, he asks us simply to bring our lives back to where God is and to live for and with him. You say, but how exactly do I come? Quite simply, by prayer. That night, 15 years ago, I knelt beside my college bed, and I don't remember exactly the words I used, but it was something like this: Lord Jesus, come into my life. I asked Jesus to come to me, and in doing so, I was coming to him. And that is what Jesus invites you to do tonight. to come and pray something like this. Lord God, I know you've been not in the center of my life, but now I want to come to you. Are you ready for that? Not everybody here is ready to take that step, but some people are. Some people know in their heart of hearts that Christ is the way, the only way, to find God. And tonight is for you, like that night for me so many years ago, the night of coming to God. And if you want to take that step, to help you take it, I'm going now to pray a simple prayer. And if you're ready, you pray it with me. Let us pray. No one comes to the Father but by me, says Jesus. Come to the Father. A prayer you can make your own if you want. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are the way to find God. I've tried other ways and they haven't worked. But you are the way to God. I believe too you are the truth. There's a lot that's still not clear, but this much is clear. Your claims are true. And I know you're the life. I've seen it in others. So now, I want to come to God, to find God. Lead me there, Lord Jesus, as you've promised. And thank you that as I come now, I know he welcomes me. Amen.